saving money on remodeling your home at Menards. Start your tile project off right with DentShield Tile Backer from Georgia Pacific. It's proven to protect against moisture in your walls and subfloors with a built-in water barrier, making it perfect to use in damp areas like kitchens and bathrooms. Plus, its easy-to-cut design makes installation a breeze. Save big on Georgia Pacific DentShield Tile Backer panels. On sale through March 2nd. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, old school to new school way, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients of Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat, and 168th and Maple up there in the O. Appreciate Strick and Kevin Meyer, Meyer Cork and Bottle coming Thirsty Thursday, then Strick on the block, providing all his knowledge and excitement as always. And then stay tuned after this. They have WTF with E. Strick and Cade Johnson is going to talk about the Super Bowl. Obviously Husker hoops, but his thoughts on the what happened in the Super Bowl to the Kansas City Chiefs. But up until then, we're going to focus a little bit on the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, what they need to do. The NFL Combine invites came out, so I can dive into a little bit more about my Combine experience. I didn't get to it much yesterday. Because it was a short segment. Matter of fact, let's just jump into it right now because I know I can cover 17 minutes of this. listen.
To those four Huskers who are going, listen closely.
The four Huskers, right? Isaiah Nair, right? Ty Robinson, Tommy Hill, Thomas Fedoni. I will tell you what, I went to the combine. I got invited. Felt like I deserved to go, and it's a different climate then, just because they don't have the bandwidth that they do now to have information on it. I didn't have social media, so they can't draw a conclusion on that. They don't have reality shows like they unfortunately drew a negative conclusion on Spencer Rattler. They just kind of were going off what they heard from maybe the few people that they knew in and around the Nebraska program, and then what they know from when they came in, just what once or twice during the spring and one time during the fall or whatever. So the combine was a very unique experience. And it was told to me by the same Lloyd Parker that I talked about that I met when he was talking junk about my dad on the basketball court. He said, when I came in, and this is Lloyd talking about when he interviewed to work at Bank of America, he was saying, and he was obviously a higher up or whatever, him and Daryl Carrington. But he said that when they brought him in, they make sure the flight was, on time, at a time that he could make it. They want him to travel comfortably. I'm sure they upgraded him to some sort of first class or business class. He got in, had somebody pick him up, probably took him to get something to eat, all that wine and dine him. Then the next day it was very casual. Then you got over there, you spend, so it was a 2 or 3 day interview process, and it happened 2 or 3 times. But they always wanted him to be at his best, right? Rested, fed, happy. I think he might have probably brought his wife and stuff then, right? Well, the combine is different. It's the exact opposite. The total opposite. It is literally trying to wear you down to see. They want to see you at your worst or see if that you can battle through tough times. And here's that you'll get there, right? very minimal, at least when I went, very minimal information where to go. Obviously they communicated to you through your agent, very minimal. Then you went to and you took a shuttle to the hotel, you check in, and then immediately when you get there, as soon as your bags go in there, they tell you, you have to report to a general check-in area, which you get your name badge and all that stuff and times to be places. And then they feed you the food that they feed you is literally like equivalent of a old turkey sandwich, some chips and a cookie and one small water bottle. Now, what you do is you bring your own stuff with you. And if you have an agent that knows this, he makes sure you come prepared. And trust me, they have their sports physios and trainers and mental coaches on site at another place. So when they go run their times, they're in a way better situation. You're on your own. You're on survival. Like, you're on your own. Like, we barely had cell phones back then, you know? And so you do that, then they usher you around. You have very minimal time to eat. They usher you around to all these interviews. And sometimes if they have, say, like a Peyton Manning in there, your time might be up. Then you got to go to another one. So they have runners taking you everywhere. And then the New York Giants, have this 350-plus questionnaire, which takes forever. It wear you out, right? And then you have to get you up early in the morning based on where you are and schedule wise. You got to take the Wonderlic test, right? And that's a big deal, right? It's kind of like the equivalent
don't
of
the tell CJ Stroud, but yeah,
or the AC. But guys don't get drafted because of that. You know, a linebacker, you're supposed to be a thinker in position, be able to lead people, know defenses. It doesn't have anything to do with football. It's more of it's a bias test, and everybody, obviously they don't do it as much, but that wears you out. Then you got to go and do the physical. Now, I didn't have any big major surgeries or injuries coming in, but I'm telling you, after I left that, I felt like I was hurt. You do this thing straight up. They're like, oh, you never have any shoulder injuries. Yank. You don't got bad knees. Yank.
Your ankles are good.
Your ankles are good. Right. And then they have you do, at least when I was there, it's called the Cybex test. It's like you remember the Rocky IV against Ivan Drago where they did the quad thing? That was it. Now, mind you got to run a 40 at some point in time.
And then
Yeah, and then they take you then they take you back to the hotel, more interviews. And so you're worried about all this other stuff. Oh, did I do good on the Wonderlic test? You're there for 10 minutes in front of Mike Shanahan and them, and then you're up all night. And then you're constantly getting new roommates because it's always – I had a lineman the first time and then, the defensive back after that. And then you got to do the bench and all the physical stuff. And then you're out of there. And then here's the worst part was you get to run 240s. The first 40 I ran, I think it might have even been at that time, it was Kevin Colbert at the time that was there, the Pittsburgh assistant GM or whatever. I felt like I ran faster than I did my second one. The second one ran faster than the first one based on the stopwatch. But I didn't find out what I ran until I was about to take off on the plane. And it's only because...
Really?
Yeah, they wouldn't tell you.
That seems kind of crazy.
It was the dumbest thing ever, right? They didn't tell you anything. What? They just said, good job. Well, right. Well, they wouldn't tell you any of your stuff. Now, you knew how many times you did on the bench. In your vertical, because you're counting, for like when you do the bench.
Are you counting or are you just trying to be in the moment?
Oh, yeah, because you're trying to get – I got 22. I'm trying to get to 18.
You got half 44. That's a good number.
That is true. But the bad part was I should have took my gas because I was getting 26. But I wanted to get to 18 because for linebackers, anything 20 or above, you're fine. You just can't get below 20. You can't be like them dudes are going to get like 4. That's just like – right. So I wanted to get to 18, then I figured I could gut out a few more. But then, you factor in anxiety. And so when you train, you just have 245s on there. So depending on the guy, he'll extend the weight out. And it is harder when they extend the weight. They'll do 45, a 25, going down to 200. So it makes the weight longer. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on the dude. And so that's the only thing I really knew in the vertical because me and Joey Porter were going, I knew Joey.
And you out-jumped him, didn't you?
No, he out-jumped me. Without a doubt.
I was trying.
Well, I had him at first. He jumped. It was crazy. Now, I think you got to learn how to cheat on these tests, though, too.
Oh.
Don't raise your arm. You got to flex your arm and all this stuff. I think I jumped 36 and he jumped 39. I was like, all right, you got me. So you had to know those, but the 40 was huge because that was a big deal. And the only reason I found out is because my agent represented a scout for the Broncos. Now he had represented him when he was a player. This guy was a scout. So he kind of got all of our in the agency's numbers, and he was able to tell me. So I was able to, you know, I did okay. So
you're okay with it? Content? Fine?
I ran pretty good. I ran like 4.58, 4.53. Slowest I ran was 4.63. But
so you would have seen my heels, but that's okay.
It's all right.
I'm kidding.
If you're Dallas Clark, I ain't catching you. So the combine is stressful. So for these guys to go in, you just got to make sure it's just all how you handle it. Now, I think it's a little bit more relaxed and more.
Dallas Clark's official 40 was 4.65, Jay.
I'm embellishing talking about how fast he was. You know that,
but
right?
But it still happened.
No. It didn't happen like you're portraying it, Austin.
You're portraying it.
Here's exactly
what happened. How do you expect this to come off to a Colts fan?
Because here's exactly what happened. Okay? It's the cardinal sin that you ever do in a cover two. Number one, and it's crazy because Vic Fangio was our D coordinator. And he had he was against linebackers. He's like, you got to cover and do safety jobs, right? It was like, this is counterproductive, right? They're faster and they make more money than me, and I got to cover in the deep half. So they ran Dallas Clark up the middle, and we ran like a fire zone. And Gary Walker, for whatever reason, against a right-handed quarterback against Peyton Manning, decided not to contain him.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks. He did it all the time. I was like, take him out or put him on the other side. Well, we're running cover two. So once you get 25 yards down there, you're kind of like, well, what the hell's going on?
What am I supposed to do down
right
here?
So I seen Peyton just chuck it up there, right? But we had two safeties back there. One was Marcus Coleman, who I think is one of the best athletes I ever played with. And another one was Eric Brown. So I kind of throttled down a little bit, you know, first, you know, thinking that they're going to make the play. Marcus closed his eyes, went to go intercept the ball, went past,
undercut it too far?
Undercut it and cut me off. Dallas Clark catches it, breaks the tackle, going, I'm hauling, and there you go. But he was rolling, though. So I was trying to catch him from a standstill start. That's why he seemed so fast. But he was cold-blooded, though. Yeah.
That's not fair.
But it's a stressful time, but it's way more lax now because they bring their trainers and nutritionists, and guys can actually say they're only going to run here at Nebraska or wherever they want, and then they don't mark them down for it. If we didn't perform at the combine or compete at the combine, they thought really something was wrong with you. You weren't a competitor. Literally. I'm sure Peyton could or didn't have to or somebody like that, but the rest of the draft you had to, unless you were going to be a top 10 pick. And so, guys, you got guys that are going in the third, fourth round won't run at the combine.
Obviously, I think from the outside, you know, people would say, oh, 40 is just a measure of how fast you are. But it's more than that, right? You actually learn like how explosive someone is, a little 10, bit of reaction
the,
time,
to me, the
a little 10 first
is the
step.
Most important. Now, it's long speed.
And it matters differently according to the position, obviously.
Right.
But you can still learn something.
Learn something, but it's not necessarily football related. It's the most non-football drill out there. You learn more about – now, obviously, if you're a corner – you want to make sure you run a certain amount, right? So maybe that and receiver. But there's a lot of guys that ran fast 40s, can't stop out and get out of their breaks. But the 10 is huge. That lets you know how explosive you are, especially for a lineman. There's no reason for an offensive lineman to run a 40. For what? You want a 10.
You block that guy 40 yards downfield? Yeah.
They ain't doing it. They're too lazy. You want quickness, short area quickness, how, you know, can you bend and all that stuff. That's the most important, but everybody has to do it. It really, I think the 40 became a big drill in there because they had no idea to really how to test if somebody could play special teams. So they just became a 40-yard dash.
Well, it's also easy for fans to digest, easily televisable, right? Mm-hmm. When you put the combine on TV, it's super simple to watch, super simple for fans to understand.
Right. And if you run a good 40, when they think that you're not that fast, you could be a long strider, right? I think I was probably a long strider. So they might think that you're slow. Well, you run a good 40, then it makes them go back and really take a good look at your tape. So it's definitely, there is positive to it, but it's not as big a deal as it used to be. But it is stressful to run your 40 because you only get two of them. You don't really get to warm up because then that's another thing. Like we ain't have no trainer there. The guy that I worked out with, or we all worked, he ain't, they didn't let anybody in around, like in any like connecting hotels or anything. It was just straight lockdown, right? So where these guys, they got their trainers and they would get to warm up right there to make sure they could perform. And we only got one pair of shoes. So you didn't get to wear one for the 40 and all that. We had one. And so, you
what
know,
brand?
What? A shoe. I had to wear Adidas.
Oh, just like your school shoes?
Yeah, you nice. Came, whatever you wanted to do. So if you came in there with these little track shoes, well, that's what you got to do, the short yard shuttle, and you're going to blow your ankle out.
Yeah, that's going to be
so
a problem.
So you need something that, you need like a cross trainer. Well, the thing is like, so they get you there, and everything is like, you know, you're herding cattle, so that it's very short amount of time to get you warmed up, and then everything stops. And then you don't go right in to run. You got to wait till your name's called.
You got to find a way to stay warm.
You got to stay warm and all that, and you don't want to overexert yourself. And then you run it, and then it's over. And so it's a very – so hopefully, you know, you wish them all the luck. They'll all do well. You know, they've all, you know, probably well-trained for it, and they'll all do well. They got to interview well, which they all will. And so, you know, I think, you know, you hope all of them that go to the combine to get drafted, and then one or two guys get drafted that are here. So, you know, my experience was a little way – a little different, man. You know, my I had Javaris Green. He was an offensive tackle from Central Florida, and they burst on the scene because of Dante Culpepper. That was right. He was an offensive tackle. Ended up playing against him. He actually ended up being pretty good. Tony George was a defensive back from Florida, who ended up shooting somebody, actually, because he lived in, I think he might have been from Charlotte, but.
Oh, my.
I just picked up the papers. Tony George, you know, nobody.
That Tony George?
Yeah, that Tony George. He shot somebody. I think he's out now. And then Ricky Williams was checking into my room when I was leaving. He was actually pretty cool.
For a Texas guy.
Yeah, but he was pretty cool. So those are, you just come across unique characters, but then you just get in the interview process and you know, talk about Bill Polian.
Did you have a good interview? One that stood out?
I really like Mike Shanahan and Greg Robinson. They end up taking Al Wilson.
Their loss.
My best interview and my best connection was with Sam Mills. He was a linebacker coach at Carolina. Mm-hmm. They had picked in free agent a lot of guys from Nebraska. Me and him hit it off. He kept in touch with me the whole time. Matter of fact, I thought I was going there. Mm-hmm. When I didn't get drafted, I think in the third and fourth, he had called. He said, it's between you and another guy. I'm telling him you're the guy I want. And they end up drafting actually a really good linebacker named Hannibal Navies from Colorado, who was more of an outside guy. Mm. I was more I played outside, but I was more pro ready. Hannibal was more of a on the ball Sam linebacker. Ended up playing pretty good. We actually ended up playing together for a couple of years at the end of my career. And then they thought like, okay, and then I was like, they can get me in the fifth round. I'd be cool because we had some teammates down there. Well, then they traded their fifth round pick. Then I was like, oh, crap. Is the brother going to get drafted? Is the brother going to get drafted? You know, then you worry about getting embarrassed. And then the funniest thing was I knew Minnesota needed a linebacker.
Of course, you got ties.
Yeah. And I knew they weren't going to pick a linebacker early. And it came in the fifth round. And I'd interviewed well with him. I was a ball boy. Everybody knew me up there. You know, I knew Denny Green a little bit, you know, knew some people up there. And they end up taking this little linebacker from Clemson and Chris Jones. And here's the funny thing about the draft. They generally are trying to draft guys that are successful up there. So a really good linebacker might be the best linebacker in Minnesota, like Viking history, stat wise for sure. His name's Eddie McDaniel, who was I think a free agent, but a smaller linebacker, kind of just willed his way onto the team. And then he ended up being a really good player, and Denny Green loved him, was from Clemson. Mm-hmm. And so Chris Jones, who was a real small linebacker, I mean, real small, like maybe at that time, 210, 215, you know, they're thinking we can, you know, redo history and draft him. And so they drafted him instead of me. So I'm like, damn. right? Mm. All the teams I think of, Philly, they drafted Barry Gardner and all this other, all the teams that I had really good rapport with them. I thought I was going to get drafted by Cleveland. Listen, Cleveland, that linebacker, he worked the dog crap out of me in the
hey, Mike Singletary level?
No, he worked out me and Chad Kelce after our pro day. When I tell you that dude worked the dog crap out of us, I mean, killed us. Mm. Every drill possible. Where me and Chad were like, hey, come on now. Now, we black shirts. We got to get through this. And we looked at each other like, damn. He killed us for like 45 minutes. But he was calling me all the time. So I thought I was going, they drafted him. They drafted Wally Rainier, who actually, me and him played in the All-Star game together. And he was a good player too. He had a real freak injury, and then he got staff or something like that. He a good dude. But then Cincinnati too, Mark Duffner, who was a longtime linebacker coach there. I don't know. He might even still be there. The thing about, I knew Cincinnati was cheap because he was a linebacker coach. He had to do all the scouting. He had to do all the reports. So they didn't. Mike Brown said, we ain't have no scout room. You get it where you fit in. But he called me all the time. And he's like, keep me updated. And then here's the funny thing about it, man. This is where I think my agent could have done a better job. And if I had to tell people, kids, to give them some advice, always curtail your answers to the team that you study, the teams that are calling you. So Tampa Bay calls me. Now, mind you, Monty Kiffin's down. I'm not even thinking. Right now, they called me at the end of the third round or whatever. The third round's over, going to next or whatever. They're asking me. And they were asking me about my weight. Right?
Rude. Now,
well, here's the thing. Everybody in the league wanted big linebackers except Tampa. So they were asking me what my weight was, and I was like, oh, I'm 240. And then I'm trying to think, all right, I'm 245. They were like, oh, this dude's too big. They want a small guy. Well, actually, at that point in time, I had to really work at staying at 240 or 42, because I hadn't matured enough. So I had to kind of overeat to get right. Whereas like I could have just say, I'm originally a walking around 230, might have worked out. So I talked myself out of that, right? So then I'm like, man, I might not get drafted, this, and I didn't have anything. And like I said, the two places that I did not want to go, this is how dumb I was. Everybody asks you, I'm like, all right, I want to go to California, a bigger city, right? I was like, man, I've been playing in Nebraska and it's been cold. I don't want to go to Buffalo or Green Bay. Right? I mean, why would I, right? If I'm going, if I want to go to Minnesota or Detroit, I'm playing in a dome.
Right.
Well, I go to the combine, them the two people they interviewed me. Right? So I'm like, cool. And they'd already had like that linebacker. I think they just had drafted like Hardy Nickerson or traded or signed him or whatever. So I'm like, cool. There's no two places. So then the next thing you know, I'm sliding down the draft. I'm mad. My dad cussing out my agent. I'm mad. I'm thinking like, I need to fire his butt. And Wiltz got drafted by the Jets, and my dad and Bill Parcells know each other, but we have to draft a defensive tackle right now. The Jets didn't, so I was like, dang, the Jets didn't have anybody to late. I think they might took Eric Barton or something. It was a real deep linebacker class, man. There was dudes getting drafted I ain't never heard of. And then I was, at that time they were the Redskins. They drafted a dude that didn't even go to the combine. So he had a good pro day. His last name was like Stimson. So I was supposed to go there, right? He went in the fourth round. So then I'm like, everywhere I want to go is out. Everybody that I had good interviews is out. So I'm just stuck. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dang, and that's the hard part about the combine. If I could talk to people about the combine is, look, you played everything you could do on the field. You can't go back and change how you played. You played good enough to get there. You do everything at the combine, and it still might not work out the way you want it, right? And so you start to get frustrated, and I was definitely frustrated. I was mad at that point. Then you turn, I don't even want to get drafted. You know what I'm saying? Then my agent
was Nate Stimson.
Yeah, Nate Stimson, right? Didn't go to the combine, but ran a good 40. Another Charlie Cassidy dude. So next thing you know, 716 came across that cell phone. And this is the funny thing about it. Another number came across before I answered it. And it was like a distant friend of my dad asking, like, hey man, we're watching the draft. You know, what's up? You ain't got drafted yet. I just, man, stop calling me, right? Hung up the phone, then Buffalo call, rest is history. And then all that literally went away. Mm. But all that work that you're doing right now, because here's the thing, it's like you got to do a lot of like feeding the faith, right? And you're starving the doubt, because you'll go somewhere. You could go to, like, say, like, if I was draft eligible, you go and draft, you work out at Nebraska. You're putting in the work. You've done good enough on the field. You're going to the combine. And just say at this point, the combine's over. Well, now you're up there is when you're in the moment working out, you're eating right, you're doing everything you need to do. You think, everybody's like, you're going to get drafted. Your agent tells you, you've done everything to get drafted. Mm-hmm. Heck, they're having meetings on all the meetings are probably why they don't want to draft.
How many Huskers were taken in your draft? You and how many others?
Mike Rucker, Jason Wiltz.
Yep.
Myself.
Yep.
Chris Brown.
Yep.
Chad Kelce.
Yep.
Sheldon Jackson.
And?
Joel Makavica.
There it is.
Is that seven?
Seven.
Well, that's right. You know how we do. Yeah. So it's tough, though, man. It's a tough process. Mm. I truly feel if I could have got to, you know what's crazy? Is I felt the Senior Bowl was the place that you could go and make noise. Mm. I remember watching the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, we get down there. I saw Keith Brookin go from like free agent to first round. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't, but I'm like, if I could get down there with the way we practice, oh yeah, it would be man. And my dad had won the Senior Bowl MVP. You know, my agent was like, hey man, you know, it's a good story. And Hayden Fry called down there to get a linebacker. And this is how weird I remember this, right? I can't remember anything. I got memory issues. Dude named Matt Hughes, linebacker from Iowa. They took him because he was 6'3 and a half, and I was only like 6'2 because it was all measurables.
And guess what? Matt Hughes didn't get drafted.
I know that.
I figured you knew that.
I knew that.
For the audience.
I knew that. And I was thinking, like, and that's what he told my agent, right? Found out a little bit more after that. And so I watched him in the game. I was like, come on, man. This dude.
There's also one Nebraska Omaha player taken in the 99 draft.
Was that Jenkins?
Yeah.
Yeah. Marte.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Matt Hughes. Okay. Oh, should have could have. Anyways, that's the combine. Wish them all the luck. They'll all do well. And the guys that don't get drafted, trust me, it doesn't matter. Trust me, when you get in the NFL locker room, there'll be more guys there that shouldn't be there than not. So, anyways, we'll take a quick break. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, come back. We'll talk about what Philly needs to do in the offseason. Hmm. What is it? I don't know what it's like to be a Super Bowl champ, but we'll talk about what they need to do because they lost their coordinator. That will change things for Jalen Hurts and the landscape of the Eagles. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.